mic is recording.
Yep. Can I pause that?
You ready? I know that we had asked people to drink tea, to take tea, but we're not going to prove that. Last time Philip was going to prove that. Maybe I should, I think we can start now. Opportunity to welcome the honorable members. And we are very few. Because I understand that there are different commitments. Others are overseas, others are serving in other committees as well. But I hope that maybe as the day proceeds, some people may join us. Because there's one apology that we're having here. Comrade Mashiko, if I'm correct, is the one from Honorable Snell. He's the only one who has apologized. Okay. Well, shall we also welcome our guests from National Treasury? Familiar face that I normally see. I don't see it today. When there's presentation, he normally accompanies the team. Mr. Clifton, yeah, I don't see him today. In fact, he normally raises a question that an interesting question for the committee. That I like as to whether, I mean, how we see the presentation, how the committee would like to see the presentation. But I see that, well, the presentations are here, a little bit different. But be that as it may, also welcome FSC. Thank you very much for joining us. Honourable members, today, as we all know, the objective of this meeting is to deal with the fourth quarterly report. I think that figures were available by the time we dealt with the appropriation bill. But it was not a full report. However, what is important about this report this time is that as a committee, we resolved to debate the quarterly report, all the quarterly reports. And the reason for doing that was really because we found that there are departments which there's a word I wanted to use, but I will avoid it. But there are customers, you know, every quarter, or most of the time, we find that they are understanding and the end of the year are applying for all over.
Okay.
The committee has makes recommendations to Parliament. Now, as a committee, we're not sure about the processing of those recommendations, because habitually sometimes we see the same mistakes having been committed. It is in that context that we decided that moving forward we'll have to debate some of these committee reports. I'm saying some because with others it's going to be difficult. Around October, it will be dealing with adjustments and the MTPS, so it's going to be difficult to deal with the quarterly report. But as far as humanly possible, we would like to debate them in the House. Well, so having said that, I would like to invite, I'm not sure who is leading the team, but the first name, I don't know whether it means that Ms. Wilson, you're the leader of the delegation, may I invite you then to address us.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and members. Thank you for the opportunity for us to present the quarter four expenditure reports. I think just for us to give a short introduction of who we are. So we are here representing six chief directorates. It is Administrative Services, Education, Health and Social Development, Justice and Protection Services, Economic Services, and Urban Development and Infrastructure. And these chief directorates covering all the national departments. So I think I can just give each one an opportunity to introduce themselves to the committee. Yes, fine.
Good morning. My name is David Nyden. It's a privilege to be here this morning. I shall be presenting on the nine economic services departments later down the program. Thank you.
My name is Gillian Wilson. I'm representing the admin services. That's basically the first 12 votes.
My name is Wolvi Karuira. I am here representing the Department of Justice in the Urban Development and Infrastructure Cluster.
My name is Sarandan Rondela, representing Justice and Protection Services.
Mark Fletcher from Public Finance, Health and Social Development.
Spencer Junari, Education and Related Department.
Come to you as well, because I suspect that I'm seeing the two faces for Ms. Trigger for the first time, and Mr. Janari. Okay. Over to you.
Chairperson, we have a short presentation that's covering the main aspects of expenditure of each vote.
My apologies. Just to say to members that we will not be having the projector today. Apparently, there are problems, but they have promised us that at least by tomorrow it will be sorted out. So, honourable members, I think we'll use the hard copies in front of us. Thank you.
Chairperson, we have a short presentation covering the main aspects of the expenditure on each vote. We've got quite a few departments to go through. I just want to establish a procedure with the committee. Do we get an opportunity, each one, to present our departments, and then after all the presentations, we give opportunity for questions. So each one of us goes through our presentation and then afterwards. So we will go admin services first, education, then health, then justice, and economic services, and urban development. Then education, then health, justice, economic services, and urban development. So I will start in my cluster of departments. The first slides basically give an overview of the expenditure for the full year up to date against the budget. This will give you a holistic view of what was. I'm giving off my department. Start with this slide. Let me say the first slide, the second page.
Are you using this copy?
Yes, I'm using this copy.
Okay.
Okay, so we're starting with this blue sheet. I'm on page 2, administrative services. I think on the private administrative services. Yeah. So the first slide gives an overview of the expenditure against the budget. And if you look at that, is that most of the departments in the cluster have under expenditure. And we basically have three departments in the cluster where there was over expenditure. If I go through it, through each department of women, children, people with disabilities have a over expenditure, small amount. Stats SA has got an under expenditure. GCIS got under expenditure. DPSA under expenditure. Public Works under expenditure. Home Affairs got an over expenditure. DERCO under expenditure. Presidency's got an over expenditure. And then Parliament's got an under expenditure. That's basically, so I will just talk to the main areas that led to the over and under expenditure. If you look at the first one, the presidency, I just want to rectify the date on the first bullet is 2010, not 20. Sorry about that. I think the main issue that led to the over expenditure is the fact that there was a deputy president, a deputy minister was appointed in November 2010. That's for the Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation. The ministry sits with the presidency. So that was an expenditure that the presidency didn't budget for in the beginning of the financial year. So that basically led to the over expenditure. There was also over expenditure relating to the hotline. It was very difficult from the start for the presidency to budget for the hotline. The calls that they make to the hotline is free, and the presidencies have to pay the service providers for the calls that is made by people to the hotline. And the presidency, in order to budget for that, the presidency didn't actually know the volumes of the calls that would come through to the hotline, and that actually led to the over expenditure. But I think the main area that leads to the over-expenditure relates to the appointment of the deputy minister in November 2010. So there was compensation and goods and services that had to be bought to put the office of the deputy minister in place. I go over to the next department, Home Affairs. Home Affairs had an over expenditure of 37 million. That's quite a huge amount. I think when the DG was appointed first as the chief financial officer, he discovered that there's a lot of debt in the department that wasn't taken up in the books of the department. Then consequently, the CFO was appointed to DG of the department. And he wanted all those debts to be reflected in the books of the department, and that the debts relate to the previous financial year, not the last financial year. And we also encourage the department to bring that debt in the books so it can go through the parliamentary process. And the main area of the over-expenditure relates to the debts owned by Home Affairs to Durco. That was services that was rendered on behalf of Home Affairs, and consequently, since the DG took over, that debt was cleared between Home Affairs and Durco. There was amount also paid of revenue that was collected on behalf of Home Affairs by Durco. That amount was also it was 600 million. That was also collected on behalf of Home Affairs. That amount was paid into the National Revenue Account. So I think that the main areas of expenditure was actually money that was owned by outside parties that wasn't entered in the books of Home Affairs. And when the DG came in, he said that he wants that amount, all of that, to be reflected and to be part of the budget of Home Affairs. If I go to Durco, I think for the past 3 years, Durco has been underspending, and underspending relates mainly to the capital projects in your foreign countries. There's about five projects that Durco could not complete due to some delays in the construction of the projects. There was a project in Washington that it was a historic building, so they had to get public participation. That process took very long. There was also a building in London. When they refurbished the lift, they found asbestos in the lift, so that also caused delays. They had to get a specialist to assist them to deal with that asbestos. So it relates to the under expenditure relates to the capital process that wasn't completed in time. There's also some concern with the Durco budget because there's a 10% vacancy rate in the department. So the department is shifting money between compensation and goods and services, and that is a concern to us. Then I go to Public Works. Public Works have a huge under expenditure of 797 million, and I think the department did have a hearing with specifically to address that, and it mostly relates to the EPWP expenditure relating to the second phase of the incentive scheme. The other expenditure relates also to the department's capital projects. We are busy talking to Public Works and relevant stakeholders to look at the how we can review the actual model of the incentive grant. I think we're having a meeting today at head office. GCIS, we had a under expenditure of 27 million, and that also relates between the fact that the department had certain plans in place to move to a new building. There was some delays between the department and the Department of Public Works. Department couldn't utilize that money to buy furniture and equipment for the building. Now the department is only moving to a new building in the next financial year. And then we've got National Treasury. National Treasury also had an under expenditure of 4.3 billion. It relates mainly to three areas. The one is the 1.8 billion. These we can categorize as savings being attributable to direct charges of interest rate debt costs. So due to the favorable interest rate, we actually saved on interest cost that we pay for state debts. The remaining of the under expenditure relates to spending on the neighborhood development partnership grant. I think we had a hearing on that as well, and also relating to the infrastructure grant to provinces, which is the 2.4 billion. Coupled with that is also our IDEP grant that we also had an under expenditure on. Then DPSA, we had a small under expenditure on DPSA, and that relates basically to two projects. The one is the HR Connect project. The project went through three phases. They finished phase one and phase two. And the other expenditure relates to phase three, especially relating to the education department. Due to the public service strike, the project couldn't be completed. The other project is the development of a framework to provide training for CIOs of national departments. That was finalized late in March of the previous financial year, and because it was finalized late, the payments couldn't go through for the project. But the actual project was completed. In the Chief Information Officer. That's the people that's heading the IT of the department. Yeah. And then we also have an under expenditure for Statistics South Africa. And that relates mainly to the expenditure for the census that's happening in this financial year. I think we also had a hearing on that. The department had certain savings, and it also relates to the procurement of your offices where the census is going to take place. And also IT-related equipment by CETA that couldn't be finalized before the end of the financial year. The department did request a rollover of that money to be utilized because that is expenditure relating to the census that's happening in November this year. Yeah, that is my cluster of department, and it's basically all the main issues relating to the over and under expenditure.
Thank you, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. Education and related departments, we have a summary slide as the front slide, first one. Just a summary of the total expenditure by the various departments. And if you look at the five departments, higher ed and training, labor and sport, all spent just under 100% of the total budget, and arts at 92.12, and basic ed at just under 90%. I'll speak to the detail of perhaps focusing on arts and basic education, where the others are don't seem to have too big a gap between total available budget and actual expenditure. In arts and culture, the main areas of underspending or slow spending were related to the investing in culture program in program 4, where 25 million or 21% of the available budget was not spent in the year. Now, this particular project has had problems for the past 2 years. In fact, the previous Minister of Arts and Culture had stopped payments on the program, and while that has been rectified in the 2010-11 financial year, it was late in the year, and hence the underspending in that program. The other area of underspending was in the libraries, the Community Library Services Conditional Grant, with about... No. That's the under expenditure. 21%. In the case of Community Library Services, the under expenditure is 50 million, or about 10% of the available allocation. And that 50 million was withheld from provinces due to slow spending in those provinces, mainly Eastern Cape, Limpopo, and Mpumalanga. There was also some underspending in capital assets, but although the percentage is small there, 33.5% spent, it boils down to 4.5 million. Understanding, which in the context of the total vote is quite small, but that is due to delays in purchasing computers and office equipment for senior management across all programs. Basic education, the total expenditure in basic education was just under 90%, and the big underspending year, or the slow spending year, is mainly due to the workbooks project. Now, in this project, there was 750 million allocated for workbooks, and they spent 166.4 million, or 22% of that 750 million. But that is not an underspending. It's not the correct term there, because the entire project was delivered as planned. It is really a saving. And the saving was accrued because the model that they used to put together the project changed significantly during the course of developing the project. In fact, what they did was they, instead of outsourcing the development and design of the workbooks, they print, they did all of that in-house, and it resulted in a massive saving. And that has led to the slow spending, really. There was a little bit of slow spending as well. I say a little bit, it's a little bit in terms of the monetary value, in the bigger scheme of things, of 16 million on the 80 million available for the technical schools recapitalization grant. It was the first year of that grant, so there was predictably in the beginning especially some slow spending, particularly in three provinces, Eastern Cape, Limpopo, and Mpumalanga, but we do expect that in the second year of the grant to pick up. Higher education and training, mostly transfers. Over 90% of the budget is transferred either to higher education institutions, to the National Student Financial Aid Scheme, or to through direct charges to the CETAs and to the National Skills Fund. And they spent in total just under 100% of the total budget. The little bit of underspending of 15 million in goods and services was due to the delay in the establishment of the Quality Council for Trades and Occupation, or for Trade Occupation, sorry, and the installation of the security system at Ndlela. The next slide is a summary of the National Student Financial Aid Scheme. We just thought that we'd highlight what their big allocation is used for and how it was used in 2010-11. And there are five different categories of funding that they get or that they use their allocation for. The one is general university loans, and the amount that's allocated in this table includes some of the money that NSFAS recovers themselves from previous students who received loans and who have gone on to work. Of all the categories, there's one area really, it's the Funza Lushaka teacher bursaries, where 7.5 million had not yet been spent by the end of the financial year by universities. But that was mainly due to delay in requests for the money, or claims, outstanding claims from universities for the money, because the bursary is oversubscribed. So there are more people who request the bursary than money. And it's just because of the slow process of the claims that 7.5 million was not spent. But on the other loans and bursaries, spending for 2010-11 was very good. In labor, also very little underspending, close to 100%, with the only underspending to really talk of is in capital assets, mainly due to delay in receipt of invoices from the Department of Public Works for capital projects. Sports and recreation, also mostly transfers in this department, either conditional grants or to sport federations, and those were spent, 100% of that was spent. So the small underspending here is in goods and services and a little bit in compensation, and it's mainly due to posts that weren't filled, and the goods and services underspending are the related costs, or the costs related to the unfilled posts, and slow spending on the sports tourism project in Program 4 as well. Thank you.
Okay, should I continue? Good morning, Honourable Chair. Okay, so I'll talk briefly to health and social development. I won't go through all the slides. Starting with health, so the Department of Health spent 96.6% of its budget. It's the one that says health and social development on the first page. Okay. On the one hand, that looks quite good, but if you look at it from another point of view, that underspending of 742.9 million, which has grown from 457 million the year before, that's fairly significant level of underspending. And if you look at it, this is the National Department of Health. If you look at the second slide, you know, there's underspending in all the economic areas. There's underspending on compensation, on goods, on transfers, on capital assets. I'm through the slide number 4, a little bit more detail there. So on compensation, for the first time, the department has underspent by 51 million on compensation. That's quite, it's a little bit worrying because the department, you know, often complains that it doesn't have capacity. The Auditor General is always asking why they don't have capacity to do what they need. But that underspent this time by 51 million on compensation. On goods, also fairly substantial underspending on goods. The biggest area where there's underspending is on the Kumanani tender, which is a big aid tender, which the government decided that they didn't want to put it out to tender, they'd rather use GCIS. So that saves a lot of money on that. But if you turn over a couple of pages to slides 5 and 6, you'll see a bit more detail on my understanding of the table on table, page 6. And you'll see there's lots of areas in goods and services where it's underspending, about 183 million in goods and services, large underspending on travel and subsistence. Medical supplies is mainly condoms. Scotland's really, you know, pushed for a large increase in adjustment budget for condoms. They got a large increase. They argued very strongly. We advised them they were getting a difficulty spending it, and you can see here about a 51 million underspending there, but a large number of areas of underspending. The big problem in transfers, Chair, which is shown both on page 4 but also through to page 8, is as usual hospital revitalization. And
well,
there. Okay, Chita, I won't go into the details, but on page 19 and 20, it just identifies the very, besides the grant, there's some very small amounts underspent from some of the other programs in the Social Development Department. The main one is under Program 2 on slide 19, which is on the Appeals Tribunal, where there was a couple of million underspent. It's not a very significant amount. But in general, social development has spent well, just some underspending on the grant in particular upset.
Thank you. I will be taking you through the department that falls under the Justice and Protection Services. Yes. Yes. So Justice and Protection Services, in there we're talking of DCS, which is Correctional Services, DODNMV, which is Defense and Military Veterans, DOJCD, which is Justice and Constitutional Development, Police, and ICD. With the exception of two departments, which is Defense and Police, others understand their budget. Overall, the Department of Correctional Services spent 95% of their budget, which translates to 728 million underspending. And justice underspent by 120 million. I will go in details when I present a vote. And the ICD overall is 3 million. Coming to correctional services, the 728 million underspending is, if we move on to slide number 2, which is correctional services, in there we see the program administration, which has underspent by 238 million, mainly as a result of vacant post, followed by security program, which has underspent by 152 million. And the last program being a facilities program, that one has underspent by 254.8 million, mainly due to slow implementation of capital work projects and delays in tender processes by DPW. Those are the main reasons for underspending by correctional services. With the defense, all the programs they've spent almost 100%. The underspending rate only amounts to 220,000 rand. Coming to a relatively small vote, which is ICD. Overall, it has underspent its budget by 3 million. The huge underspending is 1.7 million, which can be ascribed to outstanding invoices for software licenses, which had not been received by year end, as well as advertising that was curtailed in anticipation of the new iPad bill. So they couldn't advertise because they still had to rebrand themselves as a result of the new act, which is going to be implemented possibly next year, January 2012. And coming to justice and constitutional development, they have underspent overall by 120 million. The two reasons there mainly is the termination of the public-private partnership project for the management of money in trust, as well as due to vacancies and consequential underspending on goods and services, machinery and equipment. And the other huge underspending is on the last program, which is auxiliary services. There is mainly due to delays in the approval of payments in respect of the integrated justice system program. Coming to direct charges, which caters for the salaries of judges and magistrates, there has been an underspending mainly due to delays in the filling of vacant magistrate posts. coming to police, the understanding there is 40,000 rand. They have spent almost their budget in full. Thank you.
Good morning. Thank you very much. Vote 10, public enterprises. We see a total budget of 556 million and spending of 97% or 537 million. Unspent being this presentation, the two slides per page. Of the unspent amount of 18 million, 7.8 million has been requested as a rollover. The expenditure trends, we see administration spent 99 million or 95%. The energy and broadband program spent 175. Legal governance and transactions spent 49 of 50. Manufacturing spent 190 of 193. And the major underspend was the transport program with 19 million spent of total of 23. That's mainly due to the vacancies. And the joint project facility spent 1% over. According to economic classification, we see the vacancies being the major problem. 157 of the 175 million underspent. Moving on to vote 25, agriculture, forestry and fisheries. Spent 3.9 billion of 4 billion, and of the 100 million unspent, 76 million was requested as a rollover. In admin, 456 of 477. The rollover in public enterprises is work still underway. We're still considering this, and we haven't made a recommendation yet. It is for projects which they tell us have been completed or started but not completed, or they wish to transfer to other projects. We need to assess each rollover request on the merits of the case. In the agriculture, the same situation, the 76 million rollover request. Admin spent 456 of 477. Production program spent 426 of 442. The main reason being that funds were withheld for the ILEMA, LITSEMA underspending and delayed projects, delayed payments for the fencing projects. We've not been able to establish clearly why these have not been paid. The general rule we apply is a 30-day accounts payable rule, and that, especially for small business, is a concern. Agriculture support, 1.7 billion spent, and program 4, trade and agricultural development, 77 million spent, the reason being that delays had occurred in approving the farmer register project. And again, the details of the delays have not been furnished to us. The three programs, food safety and biosecurity, forestry and fisheries, spent almost all of the monies. And according to economic classification, again, the payment for financial assets and capital equipment was a 92% expenditure. The reason advanced is that there were delays in starting the Lesotho fencing project. The Department of Economic Development spent $401 million of the budget of $450 million, leaving $49 million unspent, and $35 million was requested as a rollover. Again, mainly due to transfers to other organizations like CULA and the CEDA and the SAMAF for projects initiated, but in this case, we again do not have the details of the rollover request to have assessed the merits. The admin program spent 37 of 45 million. Economic policy, 5.4 of 17 million. Economic planning, 359 spent of 377. And economic dialogue, 19,000 of 11 million. That's, of course, a major underspending matter. The reason advanced is that their recruitment program has not had the necessary uptake as requested. But of course, that could not be the complete story because a lot of the work would be policy research that should have been part of it. According to economic classification, we see 40 million of the 90 million spent, or 45%, due to vacancies. Transfers and subsidies, the full 359 million transfer. Payment for financial assets and capital equipment, 4.3 million of the 4.8 million due to vacancies. Environmental affairs, 2.4 billion of the 2.5 billion, that should be billion spent, and unspent of 99 million, of which 85 million has been requested as a rollover. The department is planning a major conference to host the United Nations Framework Convention conference in Durban in November this year. And whilst Cabinet has assigned the responsibility for the project to the Department of International Relations and Cooperation, the content work and substantive work regarding all of the climate change programs and the community dialogue will need to be taken by the Department of Environmental Affairs. The Department of International Relations will focus on the logistics and the management side of the event. So the 85 million we expect will largely be requested to fund the program work related to the conference. Admin spent all of the 272 million. Environmental quality and protection spent 296 of 313 million due to slow transfers to the Section 21 company, Buisa eBag. And we are looking at the reasons for that, the any control problems which might be in place or might have occurred, mainly because Buisa eBag was a company established under the plastic bag levy context, so we're focusing on that quite carefully. The ocean and coastal management spent all of the 166. Climate change spent 490 of 568, and mainly, we are informed, due to forex gains on the replacement cost of the polar research vessel. The Biodiversity and Conservation Program spent all of the $422 million. So, too, did the sector Environmental Awareness and International Relations Program. According to economic classification, current spent all of the $823 million. Transfers and subsidies spent all of the $1.2 billion. That should read billion, not million. And the payment for financial assets, 382 million. Moving on to vote 31, mineral resources. Spending of 995 million against a budget of 996. million is negligible. Admin spent 228 million of 233 million. Mine safety and health overspent slightly, 137 of the 136. Mineral regulation, which is quite important in all of the regulatory environment, spent 2% over budget. The reason was the underestimation of vacancies. And mineral policy and promotion spent all of the 442 million allocated. According to economic classifications, the current and the transfers spent the full budget, but the payment for capital was at 6 million instead of the 14 million allocated, and the department tells us that they leased instead of purchasing the computers, resulting in a saving. Vote 32, rural development and land reform. Spending was 7.1 billion of the 7.3 billion allocation. The unspent was 2% or 171 million. No rollovers indicated. Admin division spent 689 million of the 771 due to vacancies. The geospatial and cadastral services program spent 372 of the 487, again due to vacancies. The rural development program overspent by 4%, 358 versus 342 allocated, claiming a significant rollout of the program. The restitution program spent 3.8 billion of 3.6, mainly due to settlement of court action. The land reform program spent 1.9 billion of 2.1, underspending of 9%, due to delays in the implementing of the recapitalization and development program. So that represents the bulk of the underspending. In terms of economic classification, the current of 2.1 of 2.4 billion, transfers and subsidies overspent by 2%, and the financial assets 2.7 million of a 1,000 rand allocation due to what we are told are the replacement of assets, being computer equipment and the staffing up of the new rule of the new rural program as assigned by the cabinet. According to economic classification, actually that's a repeat of that slide, that shouldn't be there. Vote 33, science and technology. Spending was at 4 billion against a budget of 4.1 billion, unspent being 76 million or 1.8% of the budget, and 19 million requested as a rollover. Admin spent 180. Spent 189 million of the 190 million. Research 800 million of the 827 million. International 131 of the 139 million. Human capital and knowledge systems 1.8 billion, almost all of it spent. And partnerships 1.2, again almost all of it spent. The economic classification, current payments underspent by 334 million, transfers and subsidies 3.7 billion, capital assets 9 million. Tourism, vote 34, spending of 1.1 billion against a budget of 1.2. The unspent was 40 million, or 3% of the budget, and 19 million requested as a rollover. We have one in tourism. again, we're told that the main underspending was in countries where the foreign exchange, the rand strength improved significantly, and that impacted upon transfers to the SA tourism. But again, none of that has yet been approved, and we're still looking at the merits of those cases. We'd be happy, you know, to furnish that information once received. We could look into it and identify any deserving cases for the rollover request. The administration has spent 170 of the 189 million due to delays in moving to the new head office. Tourism development spent 307 of 328, and the slow spending, we informed, are due to the transfer of funds relating to EPWP incentives, which has taken longer than expected. Program 3, Tourism Growth, spent all of the $653 million, so did the policy program. According to economic classification, current spent 214 of 219, transfers 913 of the 934 million, mainly due to the transfers to the SA tourism, and capital assets spent 17 million of 31 million due to the delay in the occupation of the new head office building. Moving on to vote 35, overleaf, trade and industry department. A significant budget of $6.2 billion, of which $5.8 billion has been spent. The underspending of $400 million and $298 million has been requested as a rollover. Here we are focusing on the delays in the payments under the incentive schemes, and a lot of the planned expenditure for the period was approved may not be able to take place within the period, will have to be claimed in the next financial year. So the incentive schemes represent the lion's share of that $298 million. The admin program spent 98%, $436 million of $443 million. International, 107 of 125, mainly due to outstanding invoices from service providers, delays in tendering procedures, and vacancies. Departments are well aware of the 30-day rule in settling invoices, and they're constantly encouraged to meet that rule. The empowerment program spent $801 million of $814. Industrial development spent 1.1 of the 1.15, and the regulation program spent 145 million, or 74% of the 196. We are advised by the department that due to cost-cutting measures and outstanding invoices, these represent the reasons for the 145, the 74%. Program 6, the enterprise organization, spent 2.8 of 3 billion. Underspending in the automotive incentive program of 244 million versus a budget of 400 million. Trade and industry South Africa spent 329 million of 353 due to vacancies. Communication and marketing spent 44 versus 59 due to underspending in travel, subsistence, contractors, and invoices. According to economic classification, the current expenses formed 987 of the 1.1 billion, transfers 4.8 billion of the 5 billion, and payments for capital assets 17.7 million of the 21 million due to accounts payable on computer equipment. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Chair, I'll be presenting on the last 5 departments list. We have 5 departments in this cluster. All of the departments, with the exception of the Department of Communications, spent over 97% of their budget. We'll start with the Department of Cooperative Governance, and all these slides are quite dense, so I'm going to try and summarize just the highlights of under expenditure. The Department of Cooperative Governance spent 99.7% of their budget in the 2010-11 financial year. Underspending in this department relates largely to vacant positions in Program 1, the administration program on the National Disaster Management Center, and on the Traditional Affairs program. The under-expenditure on compensation in Traditional Affairs relates largely to the delays in the setting up of the Department of Traditional Affairs. This is a department where 43.9 billion of the 44.5 billion rand that they get is are transfers. They've transferred all the money. This would include transfers on the community works program, so 100% spending on those programs. I'm paging over onto the Department of Communications. The Department of Communications spent just under 67% of its budget in the 2010-11 year. This relates primarily to transfers that were not made around the digital terrestrial migration, where the standards were reviewed, and because of the review of the standards, transfers to CENTEC could not be made. The transfers for the manufacturing of the set-top boxes weren't made, and there was a large saving on the access network for the FIFA World Cup that went to Telkom, and the Department of Communications got a savings of about 150 million rand because of that. Lower spending on goods and services by the Department of Communications relates primarily to the suspension of the 112 emergency call center. On the Department of Energy, spending of 97.2% in the financial year largely relates to three things: some vacancies across all programs, goods and services related spending that on vacancies that wasn't met, and the bulk of the underspending by the Department of Energy relates to the integrated electrification program. It's the non-grid component, where the department is reviewing the institutional arrangements around the INEP non-grid component in the grant, which has led to implementation delays. For the Department of Human Settlements, we see a 98.7% expenditure. This is a department where 93% of the budget is the human settlements development grant to provinces. And the bulk of the underspending in this department relates to vacant positions across all programs. This department is currently undergoing an organizational review, so they are not appointing any people until the organizational restructuring has been completed. Major underspending also includes the new sanitation program, the new rural household infrastructure grant, which had a 66% spending last year, and the implementation of the accelerated community infrastructure program. The rural household infrastructure grant is in program 4, housing development finance. Yes, that would include, there's a component for sanitation that sits in there, and then there's a component for sanitation delivery that sits in program 3. It's the accelerated community infrastructure program. Where there's also been some underspending. The Department of Transport will spend 99.4% of its budget last year. Underspending across all programs relates to consultants on goods and services. There are two programs with over expenditure in this department. It is in Program 1 on the administration, and that is due to higher than anticipated traveling costs and legal costs that was incurred by the department. Underspending relates primarily to Program 5, which is on the, due to the delays in the implementation of the freight master plan, the border optimization strategy, and the air freight strategy. This is also, the department has also only spent 6% of the payments for capital assets budget. Whilst it's small relative to the department's budget, this is due to delays in regional infrastructure projects that have not materialized. There's also been a underspending on taxi recapitalization. This is due to taxi operators not scrapping, so they haven't met the scrapping target, and that's because as taxi operators try to access finance, they're struggling to access finance to get new taxes, which means they're not scrapping their current taxes. The last one is the Department of Water Affairs, where we have a 96.8% spend. This is also primarily due to vacancies. This department is struggling to fill positions. They've only spent 86% of compensation budget. This is also a department with a large consultants budget because they cannot fill positions. So they've spent 2.2 billion of a 2.6 billion rand budget on goods and services. The delays relate to consultants on the procurement of audit services and the forensic investigation contracts. Floods in the Vaal Orange system have led to delays on the expansion of the gauging via network in that system. There was a delay in the start of the drought intervention program in Glamre District Municipality, and the bulk of the savings in this goods and services item relates to Masimbambani projects that were only finalized in the second half of the financial year. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Well, my specific is that on energy, just these programs are not indicated what programs are those where they are understanding. But thank you very much, colleagues. Welcome, Honorable Masaka. Colleagues, shall we start with administrative services, which are the first presentation. Are there any comments or questions on that? Last quarter?
The fourth quarter of 2009-2010. Is it possible that in the future they can perhaps indicate it to us also what is the NSA year-to-date actual expenditure 2010-2011? Is it possible that we can make a comparison if there is a possibility that we can put in also what was it in the year 2009-2010? I think then we can compare where is problems, you know, because we asked the department certain questions last year, and we want to see how they improved, yes or no, in certain categories. I would appreciate if it is possible. That's just an introductory remark. Thank you, Chair.
Well, thank you very much, Honorable Karaplan. I think that you're right, but I think in some instances other departments have made comparisons that are not consistent. Others have not. Any other comments? I think from my side, you see, we have a challenge with the DECO, with DECO. We have not invited them because we have tried to bend DECO
to accept that there are reasons that some of the work that is done in foreign countries, the slowness it takes to for the responses there. But it doesn't seem to us, it's not clear what is it that they are doing, if there's a way they could deal with this, because like the question that, the comment that Honorable Harold Bloom was making about comparisons, if you compare with them, every year there's an understanding because they can't get receipts on time. And I mean, we're also trying to understand that they have no control. But we don't know to what extent, because we would expect them to at least, I mean, over the years now, they've been there, they do understand, perhaps they should be understanding how to manage this understanding, you know. But it's continuing. Maybe we, I'm sure at some stage we'll have to invite them so that we can really understand what is it that they are, the problem. The, for instance, bullet 1, 2, 3 includes delays in 5 capital projects, Washington, Abuja, and London. We don't know whether the reason is because they have no control or it has to do with our own planning. Very difficult to understand.
Thank you, Chairperson. While going through this presentation, I sometimes get confused where they mention financial assets and capital assets. It seems there's sometimes that category of financial assets, as long as it can be clarified. It's, I think it's a general issue. And what concerns me, I think, did this, yes, it was under National Treasury. My concern about it was under National Treasury, where we talk about debt ID and neighborhood, that other one. Yes, neighbor, NDPG and ID. Because somehow it seems, how can the municipalities be giving over the responsibility of coming up with programs so that they can access funds? That's something I don't understand, because in your initial documents you mentioned that challenges in deploying the technical assistance and getting buy-in from the provinces. I think it becomes difficult because the provinces, where they feel they don't understand anything, they'll just sit back and not claim that money because they don't understand. And these technical assistances, you always talk about them. I don't know where they necessarily should come from. Should they come from DPSA? Should they be forwarded by you? And what better approach should be done? Because as long as these two grants are not properly used, they will affect service delivery at the end of the day. That's where the concern is. I wonder what Treasury is thinking, what approach you think will be good in making sure that you can be able to
to do our oversight properly, because that's where we want to see the impact. The money is there, but if as long as the end part of the whole process is not actually taking action, we'll be sitting with this problem all along. And what I did not understand about Home Affairs, I thought I see progress in Home Affairs, but this bus system and other things that you say they did not use, is this something? Oh, by the way, you said the new director is addressing it. Let me leave it out. Then my problem was that this financial asset issue, which I don't know where it comes across, because it's being referred somewhere and somewhere not referred, and somewhere it has no money when you look at those columns, and I don't understand what actually, whether it's actually another category or what it is, something that you should take into considering when doing our oversight. I think that's just what I picked up through the DPSA, this chief information officers. I think I'm okay.
I just wanted us not maybe to, I think the point that Olaf Mashiko raises, I would like not necessarily to respond today to the neighborhood grant and the infrastructure, because we have a full meeting tomorrow. We are specifically with this matter.
Chairperson, thank you. On page 4, that expenditure outcome of the Department of Home Affairs, if you look there at the totals for both the preliminary actual expenditure 6571875. Now, if you look at this document, Department of Home Affairs, vote 4. If you look at this one, there is 6163,400. It's a difference of 400 million, am I right? If you look at this one. So if they can come back to us on that.
Hello, thank you, Colonel Pambili. I just wanted to ask the consistency question on this presentation on the public enterprise, agriculture and forestry, economic development, environment affairs, mineral resource. Is there no expenditure on the capital expenditure? I see it's only in the economic classification. Are there no expenditure incurred in that particular section? Well, I see nothing is mentioned. It's just a current and transfer payment of capital, but you don't have that classification. Just want to ask the consistency question. Then I just want to ask, Chair, on the tourism, I think there was over expenditure.
Sorry, we're just dealing with administration for now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we'll come to that. But also,
okay,
I would like to say the response to be held over until we come to that. Let us deal with the administration for now. Okay, thank you very much. I think on the question that Honorable Mashiko was raising around Home Affairs, I don't know, but if you think that Home Affairs will respond, but is the implication of what the new DG said in terms of allowing the which I think that is the correct thing, what he did just so that they can have the full picture of what is happening in the department. But what are the implications of that in terms of how do they hope to address it? Overspending or whatever you call it. You want to come back, Honorable Ramachandra? Okay.
I want to come back to this book, this one, the administrative stuff. I just want to find out, Chair, on the, there is a bar chart here on Parliament that indicate what was budgeted and what was spent. And on the book here, National Expenditure, the report on the fourth quarter, there is a, the two amounts. I'm just want to be sure, is the one an appropriation influenced by appropriation? Because if you look at the column, it's actually 1.2 billion there in terms of available budget. Then there's a further column that speaks to poverty, which is influenced by adjustment. But on your column, that's Parliament. Parliament. Now, I want to, it says that the black column, the expenditure is 127% expenditure. I just want to get a clarity in terms of what was the, what is the figure, the actual budget that was allocated. Is it this budget that you have in your column here, the bar chart 1.5 and 1.5, as a result of the appropriation that was effected later?
But also, I think there was an omission here about this new baby, Department of Women, Children. Nobody spoke to them. I suppose that it was supposed to be part of the administration. If that is the case, you know, you, in the original report, you're raising the question that their expenditure is not really on the core, what you call the issues. Most of the expenditure is on traveling overseas. I don't know if you want to comment on that, if you could. Thank you very much, Chair. Sure.
I think I just want to comment that sometimes the figures in our presentation and the figures in the bigger report that we got is not the same, because in the bigger report it indicates the preliminary expenditure. So that's why there's a difference between the two. But in our presentation we capture what is really happening. So there could be a difference between the two figures. But if there is more clarity wanted by the committee, we can provide them with the real up-to-date figures so that there is no difference between our presentation and the actual report. I think the reason
But my understanding is that the question is saying the original amount and the amount that now you have reflected, there seems to be a difference sometimes. It's not about the expenditure.
Mm.
It is what you reflect on the latest, on the fourth quarter. And in terms of the original amount that was allocated, there seems to be a difference. That's what you're saying, Honorable.
Okay.
That's why you were saying that maybe you just have time to look at those areas which were raised. Is Parliament and what else? Honorable, you raised something? And Home Affairs. The figures don't, what you call it, don't tell. Well, you can respond to other questions.
We'll look at that. We'll come back here. I think it was difficult for us to do the presentation on women, because they didn't report on the expenditure like the other departments do on a quarterly basis. So I think up to now they haven't actually reported on the expenditure. But yeah, on the fourth quarter as well. So I think the department is busy getting the systems in place, and I can maybe do a short report on the committee on what they spend. But it is correct that the department is spending a lot of money traveling, and it's also because there was not actually a real strategic plan in place in the previous financial year. But I think now the department do have a strategic plan in place. They do have programs now, and they do have a budget according to the program. So I think there is a way of monitoring the expenditure of the department.
Sorry that to happen this, but if you, I don't know if you looked at the strategic plan. I don't think that is different from what they had, because it looks like still the spending will be more on traveling rather than on for goods and services or whatever you want to call. But I don't know if you have looked at it, you can comment, but I know I have looked at it. Still, there's no difference.
My another question is on DPW, or Public Works, or are we still at this? My question is that if you look at bullet number 2 there, then there's a saving of 64.9%. Now, that's a big concern for me personally, because that's the department to our creating jobs. Is it possible that Treasury can give us an indication with that spending, how many jobs did we actually not create? Or must we ask that for the department by itself?
Well, maybe the department will can be able to provide those details. But also, I think Ms. Gilson's comment was that you remember we said to them they must go back and rework the model so that we can see the expenditure, because we had exactly that concern.
Yeah.
And I think that that meeting is scheduled for the 2nd of September, if I'm correct. So for the program. But she was saying as well they're having a meeting this afternoon.
Just a follow-up on the same question, Chair. That the sentence, if you read further, it speaks to a savings. Now, is this the department's worth or is the treasury's worth savings? Now, I just have a problem with that word savings. Who asked the department to save this amount? I'm just not too sure what the, is it not underspending, or is it actually savings?
It will be underspending in many instances.
The language that is used for avoiding to say they did not spend the money. But now I was asking Treasury, because they present to us.
Okay.
Is this their term, or is it a term borrowed from the department?
I think in this instance it is underspending. It can actually not be referred to as a savings. But we also say that for the year was unspent. So I think it's an underspending.
Same.
Yeah.
I'd like to supplement that. In other cases, for example, a department might have committed to spend money on a certain item but chooses not to spend it, then that could be regarded as a saving.
You're not helping us, because I think that the question is specific to public work. The report on education was saying, for instance, education did not do it because they outsourced the services and therefore failed, but produced the same work that it had intended. So,
But I don't know, from members even can always contest that from their own oversight or constituency, whether all the schools have got workbooks or what. I think the experiences will be the same. Okay. Ms. Susan, you want to...
Thank you for the questions. I think I would take the questions, also the question as comments. Where there is more clarity required, I can provide the committee with more clarity. I've taken down the points relating to the capital assets and also to the amounts of Parliament, so I can provide that information to the committee.
Before we leave today. Then the next one was education. Any comment on that? Yes, sir.
Thank you, Jay. If you look at the last 3-4 weeks, there's a lot said about the bad reading of our children. In newspapers, it was a big thing that our people cannot read. Now, I'm very concerned about, if you look at bullet 2, on votes and arts and culture, there is a lot of money withheld from the provinces. What is the reason therefore? Because library services, you transfer money. That is, there's no reason why we had to implement the program. Perhaps that's also a question that we must raise to arts and culture, but did Treasury see a trend what's going on there? Because as I say, that is, at this time, if you look at this weekend newspapers, that was a big thing. Our students cannot read. Our children cannot read. Now, I'm very concerned about that. Can they see a trend? That's my question, Jay. Thank you.
I think that is a very important question, but maybe not sure that I could respond, but also I think that the health department must also respond to this question. In the past, they also used to be attributed to the technology of government, what is it called? CETA. CETA also, I think, was also in the past tried to be responsible for certain work not done. Any other comments? Yes, come.
It goes along with this library issue because it seems it's an old, it's quite a long program. I just want to know whether it did not have a fixed time of saying this library, community library program should be completed by this time, because if it goes on like this, we are not going to see its effect, because every year there will be this library program with understanding, and it joins in with already what Honorable Sal Diplomat said. Doesn't it have any time limit?
That's also, you know, the basic education, where is the original copy? I think what I've noticed with basic education is that the basic education where if you, what board is it, 14?
Yeah.
Where am I? Oh yeah, yes, it's basic education. We transfer the 100%, but on those programs where they were supposed to spend themselves, that's where the problem is. There's a lot of understanding, you know. I mean, if you look at the original document on there's a lot of understanding somewhere. They spend 64% on current payments, 86%. But I don't know if you want to comment, but I think that there are the challenges, you know. I mean, this average figure that we normally get, the spending is 99%. It's so much. It can really distort the whole thing. Because if you go deeper, you find that there's not been proper spending. Because even the transfers that have been transferred to the provinces, it does not necessarily mean that those transfers, they amount to, they translate to expenditure. But I'm sorry, Honorable Mkulisi. I'm sorry. Yeah, I know you had your hand up.
No, thank you, Chair. Chair, I wanted actually to have a clarity on vote 14, on where we speak about the saving on goods and services. The saving that has been caused by the on the workbook project, where it is clear that there was 750 million budgeted for and 166.4 was spent. And then it does not reflect how much was saved, which also maybe can also help us to reflect the percentage so that we're able to come to the conclusion of understanding how much has been saved, if it means that 58%, 58.5% was then spent. And then how much, I'm interested in the how much part, because also in the third quarter report it was reported, but it was not further, you know, clarifying us how much is the part that has been saved, because it was not spent, but it was saved for the good cause. Also, Chair, I would also want to understand that in terms of this saving amount, where is it going to be spent? Where do you take to? Because it also just says it has been saved, but it does not also inform us saved, and then what else? After savings has been kept somewhere, or what again is it going to be spent on? No, thanks, Chair.
Thank you. Comrade, I think that, that's an important question of savings. But to me, my worry is the workbook there. I get some vibe that some people say we don't have the workbook. I get a report that says, no, we are safe. All the workbooks have been, all the students have got the workbook. But if you go to schools, you get another story. I think then the question becomes important to say exactly what happens. Is this, in other words, the question is saying, is it 166% the saving or the only money that was spent from the 750 million?
Just a follow-up on the previous question by Honorable Khaldabo. On that transfer and subsidy, that 80 million there. Now, if you look at the other previous reports, the first, second, and third, what is written in the, it's like cut and paste. The reason is just simply cut and paste. Now, the question is, if from the first quarter, second, and third, the same reason is advanced around the reason why the money is not transferred, doesn't it warrant a particular action? Doesn't it warrant some engagement in asking the question, what is it that we need to do to try and help or unblock the blockages that result in the inability to spend, rather than to continuously just give the same reason over and over again? So the question really is, what action is it taken, or that action is the departmental action, and Treasury simply just going to be a post office of the same language without worrying about the problem on expenditure and expenditure, and including the transfer? Because the intention of the recapitalization grant is such an important one. So I just want to ask the question from the Treasury. I'm sure you, if you look at your report, you see that reason, there's consistency with the same reason all over again. So doesn't it raise the eyebrows from your side, from where you're sitting with the players in terms of the department? And if it does, have you perhaps done anything or engaged with the department around this? What is it that needs to be done? It's the reason that provinces, due to slow spending, surely there should be some engagement between national and provinces with respect to this particular aspect in the normal meetings. So really, what is it? Should we just accept that is the reason, or is there anything that has been done about this?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Thanks for the questions, Honorable Members. I'll run through them as I...
My apologies. I'm just looking as well at this recapitalization. I don't know if I'm using the right term for the secondary school. It's not a big amount, really. The understanding is 16 million. And the 16 million is exactly where it matters, in those provinces where it matters, in the Eastern Cape, in the Popo, in Mpumalanga, in the rural, what you call the provinces. Maybe we really need to engage with the department, because the issue is about the support. I'm sorry, over to you.
Thanks, Jim. I'll start with the first question that related to the Department of Arts and Culture and the library's conditional grant. I think we certainly agree that the reading performance literacy of our learners at school is very poor, and so libraries are critical to that development of that skill. And we have, you're correct, we have seen since its inception some poor spending on this grant virtually every year. The Honorable Chair was part of the NCLP when the grant was initially implemented, and will know that initially the spending was horrific. Yes, it's much better at the moment, still poor though. Not all of the funds are transferred by the provinces to municipalities. A lot of the funds are also used to build or fix up or renovate actual structures, and a lot of the underspending is on the capital projects. They also buy books, which they then give to the municipalities who run the library services, and then there are a significant portion, you're correct, that is transferred to the municipalities. In some provinces, it's almost 98% of it is transferred to the municipality. So their spending would seemingly seem to be going well. But it is then what is done with the money that, you know, it's another level of reporting that we then also need to check upon. As I say, I think things are getting better. There are problems with some of the capital projects and the spending on the renovations and the building of new structures, or rebuilding, where some of them have been regrettably damaged in demonstrations and bad weather conditions and so on. And perhaps it is a good idea to get the Department of Arts and Culture to come and talk to the library's grant and how it's going and what kind of outputs they're getting in that regard. But I can say it has improved, and it is we see it improving as well going forward. The library grant is not for a fixed period, so it is an ongoing development of the community library services. When the grant was introduced, community library services were identified as an underdeveloped area that needed additional input, and that is coming through the grant. It is not replacing the library services and the funds for library services that were there. It is to provide additional library services in areas where there were no services. So it's not a grant for a fixed period, but is in the grant system for a number of years in the future. On to basic education. The main underspending, I mean, even if we look at the detailed report, I looked at that again, is really in Program 2. In terms of programs, in Program 2, 54% of the budget was spent. In Program 2, there are two big spending items, two very big items. So one is the adult mass literacy campaign, Karihude, and that one spent very well. And the other one is the workbooks. And so the underspending there really is related to the workbooks. I'll talk a little bit more about the workbooks in a minute. The other program where there was slow spending was in Program 4, where 88.4% of the budget was spent, and that's where they run the exams, both the grade 12 exams and any other national exams that are run. And this year, there were annual national assessments for grades 1 to grade 6. And there was a delay because of the teacher strike last year. The exam was run in February instead of October. And so some of that expenditure was delayed till the new year because the event took place later than expected. So that really are the only two areas where there was underspending, or spending was less than 97%. The workbooks. Let me start off by saying that the outputs for the national department on their side was to develop, design, print, and distribute the workbooks. And payment for all of that has taken place. Whether the workbooks are at some of the schools, we've also been hearing conflicting reports. In some cases, where they say the workbooks have not arrived at the school, upon investigation, the workbooks are in the principal's office or in the safe with the other books. So they are at the schools. In some cases, particularly with phase one, workbooks didn't arrive at some schools or insufficient numbers arrived at schools. But, in the department's defense, if a school got 30 books and they needed to get 60, with the order that was delivered, there was also a telephone number, which the principal was meant to call to say, I didn't get enough books. And if he did that, he'd get the additional books. immediately. So for them 2 months later to say we didn't get enough books and therefore we're not using it, you know, it is an issue. And the department doesn't know they didn't get enough books because nobody's called them. But yeah, the delivery side of it and then the use of it in the class is another issue. Whether they're actually going to use it and use it appropriately is another issue that also needs to be monitored. But I think that is the role of the provincial departments and the national department. The technical schools grant, 2010-11 was the first year of the grant. And unfortunately, I say unfortunately because provinces were advised to approach the grants differently to the way they did. By that I mean they were advised to schedule their activities. This is a 3-year grant. So they were advised to schedule their activities in such a way that the big capital projects get done in year 2 and year 3 because they need a longer lead-up planning process. And instead a lot of them, because of the need, put that first. And as I say, that takes a long lead-up planning cycle, and that has resulted in the delay in those provinces where there's been a delay. In the provinces where they focused on buying equipment first for the facilities that they did have and other goods and services like that, spending eventually picked up. It was slow everywhere in the beginning, but by the third and fourth quarter in most provinces it had picked up, and the underspending or the withheld money is really just related to the areas where the focus was on capital projects in the initial phase rather than in the latter 2 years of the project. But with capital projects, with the recapitalization project, what is usually the case, the money is committed for the 3 years. So the provinces don't lose out on a recapitalization project when they don't spend the money initially. It is usually the case that the province then gets the additional money in the next year or the year after that. The engagement between the Treasury happens between the Treasury and the National Department of Basic Education. And we don't, at that level, we're not really able to engage with the provincial departments of education. So we engage with the National Department of Education, on basic education, on how they can assist the provinces to improve their procurement processes around these capital projects. So how they can help the provinces to improve, because it's a procurement issue. It's a problem with procurement. And that's the resulting in the delay in the takeoff of this project. And so that engagement takes place at the national level between us and the Department of Basic Education, and then it's up to them to take that down into the provinces in relation to the specific grants. I think that is, if I've left out anything, you can just remind me, but I think that has covered all the questions. Thank you, Chair.
I'm concerned about social development part of it because the excuse of the uptake of beneficiaries by the Department of Social Development when is an ordinary person in the street, except not even going to SSA, can see that there are so many beneficiaries of this social assistance program is not acceptable, because this money was there based on facts that there are children out there or people out there who should benefit from social services grants. I think we'll need, as we'll look at it further, and it's totally very, very unacceptable, as this is one program that addresses poverty and the fact that children could, families could use this money to better their lives. And another reason, when going through this with documents, social development really is not giving us the truth, because each and every item of theirs, where they seem not to have spent, they run to efficiency savings on traveling, accommodation, venues and facilities. And all the programs where they didn't, where they underspent, they, their excuse is exactly the same. Lower spending mainly relates to efficiency savings on traveling, accommodation and venues and facilities on all their programs. And I don't think they're telling us the truth there. If they could just tell us why they did not spend their money properly, or if they had mentioned how efficiently they saved on this program, because it's just a blanket reason through all the programs, which is not acceptable. And as we have not called this department, I think they should give us details or a breakdown of each and every program spending so efficiently on this, because if that is the truth, they've really saved the money. But to us, this is seems like underspending and not knowing how to explain why they did not spend their money. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. On Program 3, Health Planning and Monitoring, compensation of employees, why is it only 86.52%? So the budget is expended. And there's underspending of about plus minus 14%. And then on Program 6, that is Program 3, Health Planning Monitoring. That's my first question on 86.52% of the compensation of employees. Is that the lack of people that's not appointed? Or? Of course, if you listen what happened in the chemist divisions of the different provincial hospitals, then the message is very clear that there is a lot of corruption taking place at this time. Now, I think that department or that program is tremendously important, especially because it's the monitoring of the goods of the departments. Then on Program 6, that's again goods and services, 56%. My question is, with the strong rand,
the prices of goods have come down. Where is the savings indicated for us? Is there any way we can, as the committee members can see, that there is the strength of savings for the strong rand? I just want to find out, you have to verify this, because my view is in all the schemes, actually, we buy a lot of goods, which is important. Is there any indication for us that there is a kind of a savings? Because if you look today, that meets us.
It's the normal impression. You cannot join a medical scheme. Cheapest is, I think, on the 10,000 rand. It's very expensive, and I know what they are busy with putting in a national scheme, medical scheme, whatever you call it. But my view is, where can we see that we have gained some money or saved some money in the whole process of buying medicine? Is
there any indication that there is a kind of honest penetration?
Based on the problems the department has with LifeLife, what is the way forward from National Treasury? Because LifeLife has not spent any of their money.
On that point is that if the money is not spent, because we raised that question last time also, and it is a time that Treasury must say no. You see, my point is, I think we know the importance of this, but if they are not spending, then there must be a reason. Where is the reason? If they don't use it, Treasury must say no. Not to cut it off, but I think there must be some reason.
Thank you, members. The health questions, then got to social development. So, firstly, why was compensation spending 86% in Program 3, which is about a 9 million underspending? Now, most of that is coming from the Office of Standards Compliance that you mentioned, that very office, because MTEC processes and the parliamentarians and others all recognize that setting up the office was a big priority. So about 16, 17, 18 million was put onto the budget to set up the office. But the departments, I think they got their calculations wrong, because I think they basically put a freeze on filling of posts for a lot of the year. You know, so they complained a lot that they don't have budget. They were going to overspend hugely, and they put a freeze on filling of posts. And at the end of the year, they underspent by 30 million on personnel. I think actually they miscalculated. They've moved quite slowly to really get the office functioning. You know, they continue to ask for more money on offer, but they're not spending the money that they're getting. So Cabinet did last week, I think, consider the draft bill of the office, the amendment after the publication for public comments in the Gazette on the amendments to the National Health Law to establish the office. So hopefully that will go rapidly now. But really the department needs to get going. I mean, it's going to be the office is going to have as much as 50, 60 million a year on budget in a year or two. And it's not spending anything like that. So that's the biggest reason of the understanding. But generally, health has got to be more careful in the way that they budget for personnel. They could have pulled quite a few more folks if they wanted to. But by the way, they also were engaged in a difficult period of restructuring because the new minister, the DG, rightly wanted to put into place a new organogram structure. And there were some obstacles to that. Both the trade unions and the Department of Public Service said, if you can't go ahead with a new structure until this hurdle's been cleared and that hurdle's been cleared and the other hurdle's been cleared. So that really delayed them for a lot of last year. So I'm hoping that they're more or less out of that woods and they can actually implement a new structure fairly soon, but you may want to follow that up with them. Okay, the second issue is a question about what can members get more evidence on the how better medicine procurement is achieving savings. Now, you'll recall that most of the medicines are bought by the provinces, not by the national department. So you won't really see it on the national department budget. But also, if I look at an expenditure line on medicines, that is really a combination of the unit costs for the medicine and the volumes. And the thing is, the volumes are going up quite a lot. So one really has to look to the unit cost very specifically and the outcomes of specific tenders to look at those reductions. Overall, our spending on medicines is going up. In fact, quite interestingly, we're now spending about $7-8 billion a year on medicines in the country, and it used to be about $4 billion a couple of years ago. So our spending on, also for the first time in 2011, we introduced a new item on the SCOA, the economic classification, to track medicines. So previously, medicines were hidden in goods and services. You couldn't track it. Now we've actually got it. We can track it now for the first time. So provinces are reporting on, we're going to have much better data on medicine spending. But the best thing to do is to check the, you know, the actual tender awards, and I think the Department of Health would be best to report back on that. But it's interesting, for example, that in the AIDS tender, you know, the AIDS tender got significantly cheaper prices for the AIDS drugs. So you'd think that we need to you know, give less money for HIV/AIDS because of that. But almost simultaneously, the Department of Health introduced a much better treatment regime where they substituted the old, fairly toxic D4T with a new medicine called tenofovir, which is quite a bit more expensive. So although the medicine, the cost of the old drugs came down, there were also new medicines which were more expensive. So it's quite a complex story behind this, and you'd need to get, you know, quite long-term quotes. There's been recently an award by the Department of Health on TB drugs and also on antibiotics. And I think that if you call them, they can also get, you know, some of the detailed tender results of the tenders. Okay, on Love Life. Now, Chairperson members, firstly, that these funds were not transferred to Love Life by the Department of Health. So it's not Love Life that has not spent the money, it's the Department of Health that has not transferred the funds. And the Department of Health, every year, has got a very bad way that they deal with funding NGOs. Their funding cycle is like 6 months too slow. They enter into the contracts months into the year, and they transfer the funds too low. But on top of that, the Department of Health at the moment has a bit of a dispute with Love Life. Not a dispute in the formal sense, but in the informal sense. They particularly with the new, some of the new senior managers, the new DG and Love Life, can't properly agree on what they want jointly to do. And so we were very surprised at the end of last year, Department of Health not only didn't transfer the funds, but they didn't ask for a rollover. Yeah, so Love Life is very unhappy. They say, how can they pay their staff? How can they do their programs? So there's an unresolved conflict here, Chair, that the Department of Health and Love Life need to sit down and sort out the AIDS prevention programs, because unless we sort it out, our AIDS prevention strategies suffer. And they have to work out how best to, what best to be done here. On revitalization, Chair, on revitalization, Chair, I don't want to go into all the details here, but the underspending is still, as you point out, large. Department of Health is trying to put in place measures, including quite a lot of money is being spent on technical support to the Development Bank and through the CSIR on quite a number of different programs. Also, the two ministers are very keen to open up a new delivery route, a bit like the Department of Education uses, did this purchasing of the school books, but also they're starting to use DBSA to build. They want to start, the National Department of Health wants to start using DBSA to build some hospitals from National. That's a new development. We're not sure, you know, it's in planning at the moment, but it's something that Parliament will need to give some thought to also as it starts coming to the fore. But certainly the Department of Health is trying to put in place some measures to address this. But this is a very long question about the underspending on rewrite and the poor delay on numerous projects, and it's something that I know the Parliament continually is interrogating the Department of Health on. So Office of Standards Compliance, I think I have talked to. On social development, Honourable Mashego, I hear your point about being very unhappy about the lower uptake than anticipated. I think one does need to recognise, though, that you know, social grant numbers are nevertheless growing very strongly, the uptake of grants. In fact, they're growing by about 700,000 new people. You know, coming on per year, so we're now, you know, well above 14 million people on grants. So, you know, to some extent, there are some uncertainties here. For example, when you lower the uptake of grants, when men can start taking up the old age grant, not from 65, but from 64 to 63 to 62 to 61, there's a bit of uncertainty to what extent those men are actually going to go in, you know, go and apply for the grant. Now, you might be right that the department may not advertise enough to people that they've got a right to go get this grant now. And similarly, when the child support grant is extended, you know, say from 13 to 14 to 15 to 16, you know, sometimes there are uncertainties whether it's going to be of the new group, the higher group, because these are people who perhaps didn't get the grant before to some extent. You know, to what extent will the uptake be 70% or will it be 67% or whatever? Because remember, you're talking about a billion, 100 billion rand budget here. So 900 million underspending on a 100 billion rand budget. Also fairly, you know, quite, you know, small percentage changes. But you still probably are correct that there are people who need to be getting grants, you know, who are not getting them. I hear also, Honourable Member, that you feel social development not giving clear enough reasons for some of the underspending. I do want to point out that, you know, if you look at some of the details of the program, in the program, some...
Before you take, I think the one of Moshe Paul's question arises from page 16, bullet 2. Bullet 2 says... 1, 2, 7 points. Social assistance transfers withheld due to lower than expected beneficiary uptake. And that sentence continues to say maybe this might be an understatement of the final figures. So what I want to say is that I think that this sentence gives us the impression that the statement gives us the impression that there were more people who had applied, perhaps who did not have access to the grant. I know that from my constituency work, for instance, that some people come and say that the grants have been cut. People who are supposed to be getting grants. And the office presumes the other side that the person is dead, you know, or they have a policy that says after every 3 months the person must show up in person. And if the people can't show up, they presume that those people. So I think this question, this expenditure, comes from those kind of what you call it. Instances, for instance. I'm not saying that all of it's true, but I'm saying that's what we see. I mean, we pick up from the constituency. And I remember earlier this year, someone asked me to intervene before her pension was stopped.
How do you interview before the pension stopped? But she was worried that every year, beginning of the year, she experiences problems because...
Okay, but I think it's a question then that needs
to be for social development to clarify as well.
Okay, thank you, Chair. So just on the last point about some of the reasons for the understanding and the other programs not being sufficiently clear, and that the point about efficiency savings is mentioned several times. Firstly, the understanding on the other programs is not that large. You know, if one looks, for example, at page 18, the lowest part on page 18, there's only about 5 or 6 million on many of those programs, which out of a 100 billion rand budget, these are not very large amounts. Remember also, Chair, that the FASA as an organisation was very overspent. In fact, there was, you know, over two hearings with SCOPA, there was a sense that SASA might even be becoming insolvent as an organization because they had built up accumulated debts of around 1.6 billion rand. So the whole of SASA certainly has been on a kind of an austerity drive to try and come within budget. And remember, we've also been through a general economic recession, so all the departments have been asked to make savings. But in addition to that, you know, there are some other points mentioned here. For example, that there were some delays in transfer to the to NAFWA, National Association of People Living with AIDS, delays to the National Association of Burial Societies, and there was some slowness in the appeals tribunal projects, some of which have been requested as rollovers. But Chair, I do hear the members' unhappiness with that. I think that you know the committee may want to engage with social development at some point also. To go through some of the questions directly with them.
Any comments on justice and professional services and protection services?
Thank you, Chairperson. My problem in this last slide is that spending on one department affects the other, where you find that you could not spend because there is a blockage. Maybe the problem is not ours. What I know and can even be referred to is that justice is this one that goes to Cosme. They say we are not doing our work and not spending, but the problem is not with us. The problem is with subs. So that thing, when it comes to, I don't know whether it's joint budgeting or what, but there's something wrong within this cluster that spending impacts on the performance of the other. And as long as it comes out like that and it's not clear, I think we'll be blaming one department, not the other, because one will be arresting and spending 100% and leaving people to go to court who cannot be accommodated for somehow, and the spending there won't become clear because the flow of service is somewhere blocked. The others will say we don't have people to put our progress here in court has to go like this because the others want to prove that they can do their work at our expense. And as a result, you ask ourselves where, as people doing oversight, you just don't know. We can't call one department and leave the other without the others referring factually to what is actually happening in the full cells that are not being attended by the courts, and the money not being well spent somewhere, because somewhere around this, it needs, I don't know, I'm not so clear about this thing, but one expenditure impacts on the understanding of the other department, because one seems to be overworking the other, where there is no, where there's supposed to be proper jobs done somewhere. It seems they're not doing their work, because the other part of this cluster is overperforming or just doing its job so that it gets 100% pass. I don't know, but somewhere along the line, I think we need maybe a proper explanation on how this cluster coordination works, and how the funding of this one cluster affects the other one.
Okay. Any other comments? Honorable Ramasaka.
I just want to understand this on the correctional services here, the underspending there. That's 238 million. And the issue about it's a vacant post, it's a finalization of the service level agreement with CETA. What are we actually talking about in terms of this? It's quite a dense five bullet, but we've got a huge stuff that I don't understand. If you can just explain that. Which IT project are we referring to that result into this? That's the first question I just want to ask. And then I have another question on the general. It's a more general question I want to ask at Treasury in relation to the economic classification. I want to ask that question so that it's just a clarity question that I want to pose, and I will ask it maybe not now and when we finish with this, because I just want a clearer definition of when you look at the budgeting around the economic classification. Some kind of inconsistency without budgeting, and then budget kick in later in the cycle of financial year. Just want to understand the definition of that.
Okay. Any other comment? I think from my side is the question that maybe we raise with National Treasury at the end of the third quarter. That we think that National Treasury maybe needs to pay attention to is maybe because we're not directly involved, we're kind of naive in terms of program one. I see, for instance, with the correctional services, program one here is 4.1 billion. Now, I don't know what the I'm not sure what was the total budget for correctional services. What is the total budget? But whatever the amount, should the really program one have that kind of a budget? Isn't there some kind of guideline in terms of what is it that you expect from program one? It says administration. Now, if it still runs to 4 billion, so there's no longer administration, there are other things that are involved. I think that's my comment. You can respond, Dr. Randera.
I will start with the first question on the issue of the spending of one department affecting the other department. Yes, the honorable member is correct that there are certain activities that one department, when it performs it, then it affects the other department. Like, for instance, the issue of overcrowding. Police will arrest, they will be taken to court. If they're not like it, they'll be convicted. and then we don't have enough correctional facilities and overcrowding. And there have been some delays with the construction of the prisons, hence overcrowding. And again, there are some projects of which the budget caters for the whole cluster, like the integrated justice program budget, which is especially for the modernization of the system within the cluster, for the system to talk to each other, to avoid a simple thing like, for instance, if I get arrested, I will be given a reference number by the police, but when I go to justice, I will get a different number, which won't talk to the previous number that I get from the police, such that I might be back into the system without the system knowing that I'm back again. So there's an allocation which is going to modernize the system for the system to talk to one another right from the police up until correctional services. So there's an allocation for that to deal with the challenges in the cluster. I know that sometimes the portfolio committees, they've got some joint sessions trying to address issues like this, where they bring in all the, many of the three departments, SAPS, Justice, and Correctional Services, to discuss matters like this. And I know one of the issues was the issue of remand detainees and overcrowding in prisons. Can I? Okay. And then coming to DCS underspending, especially on facilities program. What happens is the department, as a result of underspending due to delays by the implementing department, which is DPW, they wanted to have a service level agreement, including FITA, so that they know beforehand the services that they expect from them. And then the delays, correctional services always wanted a penalty clause to be in the service level agreement. And that's where the difficulty is. That's including FITA. And then going forward, especially with regard to the delivery on capital projects, they are now also trying to bring in the IDT so that it can assist in the delivery of the projects. Because even here, certain functions will be taken from DPW and will be performed by IDT. So there have to be sort of agreements between DPW and IDT, and also agree on the projects that will be done by both IDT and DPW, although IDT is an entity under DPW.
That's how it's there. You want to come in now? Okay, you may continue.
Coming to the issue of the standardization, there is also a question on which IT project. In here, we are talking of like the upgrade of the servers, the local area network. A simple thing, like for instance, if I send an email now to correctional services, they're likely to get that email tomorrow. So these are some of the projects that FITA will be performing to upgrade the servers and other IT projects in correctional services. I've got a list of some of those projects like FITA Internet, FITA Perfal, mainframe hosting services, National Contact Center, and it's a whole list of IT projects that FITA will be performing for DCS. Coming to the issue of the standards with regard the issue of standardization of admin services, I'll give it a try. I know that there is some guidance that we give. I think it's in the guidelines on program structure, if not mistaken, where we're giving guidance in terms of what goes into admin services, like your corporate services, ministry, office accommodation, and the like. So there is guidance and there is a document on structuring of programs. Included in there is guidance on admin services, what goes in there.
Okay. We must also mind the time.
Here's something that I want some clarity. If you look at page 65 on this document.
On the original one?
The original one.
Page 65.
Page 65. That's about 24 police. Yeah. Now, if you look on the detective services, there you get integrated justice system program. That is 40.04% spent. Now, a little bit further down, you also get integrated justice system program. That is 561% spent. What is the difference there? 40.4% is spent on the first integrated justice system. And then the second one is overspent by 561%.
I know in there we have, there was an allocation which has always been there for this IJS since 2001. Then the other one was allocated, I think, three years back, when the whole issue of the revamp of the criminal justice system started. And with the police...
I think that you didn't look up. There's another one, higher than that one of one... No, the third one of 1.3 billion. So
yes. It's for the revamp of the criminal...
While you want to integrate the system, you're not integrating the the budget here.
So the challenge with cluster budgeting has always been that at the end of the day, the accounting officer of a department is accountable for the money allocated into his own vault. So that's why you also see part of this funding is also with justice, because some of the accounting officers, they are not comfortable, because at the end of the day, they have to be accountable for the money allocated for the cluster. So these are some of the challenges with regard to cluster budgeting, because once it's into a vault, then the accounting officer is directly accountable for that particular allocation, although the money is for the trial cluster. So now, also part of the what you see like overspending and underspending, I know there was also a misclassification problem with SARS, where money was classified under goods and services, only to find that those projects are of a capital nature, and then the money was reallocated from goods and services to payments of capital assets.
Thank you very much. Can I just, I want to suppress you on this one so that you can move to the next one. But it's clear that though the police, the budget is reflected as 100% spent, but the way they spend leaves much to be desired. You know, the way they budget.
On a lighter note, I think they are moving to nice places now.
I didn't hear that. let's move to economic services. Any comments? I suspect that we'll be inviting some of these departments because especially your economic development, your even trade and industries, even trade and industry. You would remember that with rural development, we also requested that there be some discussions between them and National Treasury, and they should report back to us. But we can comment.
I suspect that the question I asked earlier on were noted, and what is awaited is a response on those questions.
But your questions were referred to this department, not to this one. Yes, we're taking them into account. Mr. Nagu.
Thank you, Chairman. We have made several recommendations on the merits of the rollover request, and I can offer the committee more information on that. In vote 10, public enterprises, we've recommended 3.4 million in respect of financial modeling that the department needs to undertake for South African Airways and SA Express, and 1.5 million. For the performance monitoring of the SOE. Vote 25, agriculture, forestry and fisheries. We've recommended 3 million rollover for the fencing project, 20 million for the project register project, 5 million for a grant to the Ilima Letsema, and 10 million for the comprehensive agricultural support program.
Roughly 40.
Economic development, we recommend vote 27, 2 million for a course to be run by the University of the Witwatersrand, and 1.3 million rand in legal services fees for the Walmart MassMart court action currently underway.
That was pretty fast, eh?
that's because now the year is over, and what you're talking about is a new thing altogether. But it's fine.
So it's a $2.4 billion investment.
So you saw that there was a lot of underspending, so you tried to pep them up at least. So that they should reflect better.
Vote 29, environmental affairs. We recommend 5 million for the air quality monitoring project, especially in view of the Durban conference in November. 80 million rand has been treated as a forex gain arising from the strength of the rand. We have rolled that over to the current financial year for any rand depreciation that might take place. There are no rollovers in minerals and rural and science and technology, nothing there. The 19 million rand tourism rollover we have recommended in the light of their occupation of new offices, the fitting furniture, equipment, computer equipment, cabling, and the like. We have also written a condition into the rollover that all such procurement meets the standard terms and conditions for the government procurement system, as well as the space norms of the Department of Public Works. Vote 35, the Department of Trade and Industry. We've recommended of the large 298 million rand request for a rollover, we have recommended 31 million for the automotive production and development program payable to the Ford Motor Company, which represents a claim which ought to have been considered in the financial year, but which will be processed. Thank you. There was a question on financial assets and capital assets. Any reference to financial assets should mean capital assets and involves payments for fixed assets, property, plant, and equipment. Apologize for any confusion. Thank you.
Is the lifespan of a department's office? Because I know they had to budget, but I want to, is there like 10 years, 15 years, or 20 years?
Just a short question, Chair. I was just listening with the, what's the total figure of that requested rollover, the ballpark figure? Is it, it's
for 35, for 35.
No, the total. I'm asking the total because I just want to, because I hear the speaker explaining, writing down the reason of granting this one, the reason for granting that one. I was just asking myself this general question, what is this informing proper criteria that give concession to the request from the department, from a treasury point of view? So sometimes it's a motivation of a good motivation. What informs this granting? Because I always quibble with that. If you can just explain that, and also the general question I asked earlier on was this issue about economic classification, the budgeting thereof and the non-budgeting thereof, and what is the proper definition of it? Because we look at your report, you see that there's no budget at the beginning, and then somewhere in the middle, then the money kicks in. So I just wanted to find out that question, or you can write it in detail if you have. We don't have time now to answer it. In the verbal orally, if you can just give us that answer, please.
Why is that question referred to this class and not to the other classes? Because I suspect that it was the other class.
But also, but you asked that, so you prefer it as not to.
Okay, I know. I concur with the second technology persuading. Okay, you.
Thank you, Chair.
We'll comment.
My colleague has totaled the rollover requested. Do we have that total? 540 million requested. Yes, for the economic services. I'll give you the total for the recommendations shortly. The question related to. What was a general question? Would we expect an answer?
For which question? Another question?
For the rollovers request. Okay, I'll offer it. Firstly, any project ought to have been accrued and payable in that financial year. For example, the APDP was budgeted program for which the allocations were made and for which the claims had already been underway, but invoicing and payables had not been made timely. So it would have been payable, hence the rollover was approved. In the case of the Department of Tourism, the occupation of the buildings and the equipment and the furniture and fittings and the cabling of the building was a legitimate request for any funds, and the building needed to have been so equipped. So we make that recommendation on the basis. The next question about the life of an office. Typically, you would have the life of a building, which in accounting years is roughly 60 years for the entire building.
Right.
But the Department of Public Works has specific norms and standards regarding, you know, square meterage for staff and the like. And if a department outgrows its existing premises, then there's a legitimate expectation that the department would need to find premises suitable for its new size.
Well, I think that would engage more with the Department of Trade and Industry, and I hope that you will be there. Because I think there are a lot of questions that I think. I mean, this is one department that is charged with the responsibility of promoting job creation. And so clearly, we will engage with you. But last time we accepted that you could not attend the other session. We'll not accept you the next time when we invite them. Because you're there as our resource, you know. If you're not there, then it means that we have a problem.
Ms. Ruida,
you will bear with us, because we might not get the lion's share that the other people of time, in terms of time that other people got. Well, it's the problem of being of always being the last one, you know. You get left. Any comments on the event development and infrastructure? There were questions that you raised here that then we asked people to hold, to hang on. You want to have a second
slide? No. We've recommended 158 million of the 540.
We have a lot of questions, but we didn't get the understanding why the question was asked. Any comments on
the last one?
Event, the last one now?
My question is on note 37, water tests. What happens if you lay off the slip group and send them a group? Yeah. Slip
Any other comments? See, on but we will engage with the department because, I mean, with communication, I think it was during the, was it the first time or the second one, where they told us that now there was an appointment of the PG and everything, and they told us now that everything now is a place they are going to be able to spend, but they have not. I'm not sure what the problem is. But human settlement has transferred everything they have to transfer. But there's underspend on those programs which are in-house. You know, we don't understand, you know.
And what about the deep thrust? What were you saying? Yes. This is... hasn't they asked for a rollover? Now, there might be something wrong with the report. I mean, what happens? I know they ask for rollover all the time. I think there's something that's missing here. They can't stay without asking for it.
But we are still at promo
scale. Well, do you want to comment, Miss?
Thank you, Chair. The issue around the Department of Communications and the under expenditure relates primarily to the transfers to CENTEC for the digital terrestrial transmission, the migration towards the from analog to digital. And there was a review of the standards late in the financial year, which meant that the set-top boxes couldn't be manufactured. It meant that the kind of infrastructure that CENTEC would have to put in place would have to be reviewed. So there was a hold on all of that. So the department did not transfer the money to CENTEC for that. The other major transfer that did not happen was related to a savings, and not an under-expenditure in this case, around the World Cup and Telkom and the commitment from Telkom to put in the network infrastructure. There was an actual saving made on that project.
I suspect to differ with you, you can continue with that. Because that's not the, I mean, the report now is about savings. If you look at the third quarterly report, it will reflect something else. But our understanding was that, I mean, I know that the question was put, for instance, that now what are they going to do? Because the World Cup was over, there was still a holding on this amount. I can't remember the response, but that question was raised with them. Unless then there's a change of mind now. Okay.
On the Department of Human Settlements, as you correctly point out, yes, this department does transfer all the money on the to provinces, specifically on the Human Settlements Development Grant, and the problem is in-house. A lot of what the department is or why they're not spending the money relates to compensation of employees. So they're not appointing people, and there's two reasons why. Initially, there's accommodation problems, so the department's just too big for the holding that they have right now, so they cannot appoint more people because they don't have space for them. And the other reason, which seems to prolong into this financial year too, relates to a turnaround strategy which the department is currently undergoing. There is a review of the organizational structure. So the department is not appointing people until the organizational structure or organizational restructuring has been completed. So they're going through the process and jumping through the hurdles with the Department of Public Service and Administration in getting their macro structure approved that would allow them to start filling positions again. So they put a hold on all of that. Chair, you raised the point earlier on about the Department of or Energy and the programs where we do see the underspending. I mean, this relates primarily to the administration program, and that's just goods and services and administration. And the electricity and nuclear and clean energy program, a large part of that is also, or the underspending in that program also relates to compensation of employees and goods and services. And there were some issues around the transfer of the demand-side management grant and the renewable energy grant to ESCOM, which has also led to some kind of under-expenditure in that program. And then the largest under-expenditure for the Department of Energy sits in the Associated Services Program, which relates to the INEP non-grid component of the grant, where there seems to be a review of the institutional arrangements, the scope and the implementation plan for that component of the grant, which has led to a significant underspending, or the large part of the underspending in this entire bus. Thanks.
Okay. The last comment. I don't know to what extent does planning contribute to that, because they come to you, to National Treasury at the beginning of the year or year, during this process of budgeting, for instance, and say, and request funds to certain programs. During the year, they review that. I'm not saying that they're not supposed to review. Perhaps they're looking at the spending and delivery of the programs, but it worries that I know that in terms of business revenue, for instance, there's a lot of money that is put on the in-app programs, whether it's from the side of the department or from the side of ESCOM. I'm not sure which ones they are reviewing here. But maybe it needs a little bit of more engagement. Well, on that note, I think that the cutting short, the question was raised, and we always know that National Treasury does not want to act like big brother, big sister on the other departments. But in terms of the Constitution, in terms of the Act, PFMA, for instance, the functions and powers of National Treasury are very clear. Now, it seems that National Treasury sometimes is reluctant to apply the Act. Section 6.2 F, for instance, of National Treasury, in fact, the whole 2, but F specifically says, National Treasury must intervene in taking appropriate steps, which may include, in terms of Section 100 of the Constitution, or the withholding of funds, and all those kind of things, and with reference to Section 2162 of the Constitution, for instance, to address a serious or persistent material breach of this Act by department, public entities. So, I think that, we are of the view, I mean, I listened to the question, that it was clear that, yes, your monitoring is very cautious. But we think that, as Parliament, who would like to know, as much as the department reports sometimes, if National Treasury has not done this, departments would come to Parliament during this quarterly report and say, no, National Treasury has not done this, or what. And then together we try to address that. But we also, are also of the view that in cases where you think that also you have tried to assist, and you must be not getting progress in terms of that assistance, that we must find a way of addressing it. Yes. Not just with the new department, as well as with the new department, but, for instance, the report on the women and children, it's something that we really need to pay attention to. Because I personally, I'm sure with other members, look at their strategic plan. The focus is on traveling. And I spoke to the chairperson of that committee to say they must look at their threat plan. Not addressing the core functions of the, or what I would think that is supposed to be the core function of the department. issues about attending conferences and what, and so on. But they're not telling us how they are going to address the difficulties, challenges faced by women, by children, people with disabilities. It's not about those things, it's about traveling to conferences and what. So it's something that we will invite the department that going forward they must at least tell us how they are going to address it. And our understanding was that with respect to the statements by that department, we invited them for the third quarter. I suspect Ms. Wilson, you were in that meeting, where they said that, well, now they are forming a department where the issue of, for instance, the person that we have dedicated as the chief financial officer, there was a drama around that, for instance. Our understanding was that, and they gave us the date by which they would be appointing their own chief financial officer. So we'll be speaking to them. But I'd like to apologize for finishing late due to the fact that we started late. Honorable members, thank you very much. I'm informed that the next meeting is here tomorrow. What time? At 9:30. And even if the researchers could come at 9:30. Yeah. So, well, thank you very much. I'm sure you will be informed about in future about which departments we're going to invite and the date on which they will be invited. Thank you very much. The meeting stands at 10. May I invite you? There's water there. thank you.
I'm back. Sorry. Meeting was a success. Got all the stuff done that I needed.
Thank you.
Now, about this specific delegation list, do I have to fill all that into here?
You don't have to.
That's okay? All right.
You don't have to.
Yeah. And the, couldn't get a, just copy of, the e-copy of this, but they said that they would email it to you?
Yes, you copy it to the person that's going to send it to you.
Yeah. Alright, and, no problem.
I don't know.